I'm talking tonight about real love, and it is Father's Day, so I do think it is a bit appropriate that we talk about love, because if there's one thing that I know about my dad and my granddad, is that I feel an incredible love from them whenever I talk to them. And I know this father's heart is exactly the same as the heart that our Heavenly Father, God, has for us. And so I'm going to talk about that tonight. But first, I want to share with you something embarrassing. A little confession. You've seen those quizzes on Facebook, right? Like people, it's sort of come. It used to be in emails. People who here had Hotmail and MSN. Anyone? Yes. And we used to get in like grade 7 or whatever. I used to get these emails, and it would be this quiz that you fill out and you send to your friends, and then they fill out and they send it on to all their friends, and you felt really special, you know, like, oh, people want to know my answers, but they don't. They just want to write down their answers and send them out. And anyway, I have a screenshot of one of these quizzes. Don't laugh. Here we go. Let's have a look. It's in Comic Sans and it's pink, and I blocked out the answers to save further embarrassment. But this is the kind of email that we did, and it would ask questions like, what are names that you go by? Two things that you are wearing right now. Just silly, silly teenage stuff. Like, and we just used to love filling these out. I would get these on the daily, and I would fill these out and forward them on the daily. And it was so awesome. Anyway, so they'd have all these questions that would make your emotions flutter, like, who is your, does your crush, is they going to get, they going to get this email? Are you thinking about your crush right now? And it'd make you go, ooh. And I've seen those going around on Facebook yet again. Type the emoji that has your crush's first letter, blah, blah, blah. Silly. Silly. Anyway, we did these things, and one of the questions, they always used to have these introductory questions. And one of them was, what is your favorite movie? And to be honest, I don't know, this question, I don't know how you feel about it, but it gave me a bit of an identity crisis, because everyone seemed to know their favorite movie, but I didn't really know my favorite movie. I knew there was a lot of movies that I liked, but I didn't really have a favorite, so I just would always put down the thing that I watched the most, which was Gone in 60 Seconds. My dad and I used to watch that all the time, and we loved it. But I don't know if I would have said it was my favorite movie. But and it's like this thing where, and you've probably experienced this, sometimes we don't know what our favorite thing is until we actually experience it, till it hits us in the face. Sometimes we don't even know what we want till it hits us in the face. And I remember in 2010, someone inviting me to go and see Inception with them. And we took a big crew, and this movie will blow your brain up. Honestly, it is seriously complex. It's so complex that there are many, many internet sites that try and explain it. Here's a diagram that's meant to be a simple version of explaining Inception. That's meant to like try and help you and explain it. And I was like looking at that, and I'm like, yeah, nah, not really. I remember Beth Molhair walking out of the cinema, and it was like, it would look like a bomb had exploded in her hometown and killed heaps of people, because she was walking out like this. Like she was in shock or something. And I remember Clayton trying to explain to her how this movie went, but I was just wide-eyed. Like I absolutely love this movie. I love the big horns, that Hans Zimmer, when he composed it, that's like now a trademark thing, the massive horn, just the bwah. I just loved it. I sit in the cinema, it's so good. I remember when I got a Blu-ray player, I made sure the first Blu-ray that I hired out was Inception. Like, I love this movie. And I knew it as soon as I watched it for that first time in the cinema. And it was like, I didn't really know what my favorite movie was until that moment. And I think it comes back to this great quote by Steve Jobs, and he says, a lot of people don't actually know what they want until it hits them in the face. No, they don't actually know what they want until you show it to them. And this is so true, especially when he showed me the gold iPhone, because I thought I was always going to love the black iPhone, you know, keep it nice. And then I didn't know that I wanted the gold iPhone, and then Apple held it up at their conference, and they were showing everyone, and I was like, that is what I want. I want that. I did not know that I wanted that, but I want that. And I'm sure that we've all experienced this, maybe especially around dinner time. You don't know what you want. You're trying to go through suggestions in your head. Maybe you never get there, but you're just trying to what do I want for dinner? What do I want for dinner? And then someone says something and you're like, yes, that is it. And for me, it's the $3 Macca's meal. $3 Macca's meal. I'm thinking, oh, what do I want to get? Do I want to get this? Do I want to get that? That's $15. That's $14. Big Bloke's breakfast, $15. But, you know, I could get a cheeseburger meal for $3. And that is what I want. And when Macca's had the ad, 3 for $3, I knew that is what I want. And some of us, you know, sometimes we don't actually know what we truly want until it hits us in the face. And thinking about Father's Day, you know, there's like a lot of examples of love in this world. There's a lot of examples of love. But we actually, I don't think I ever knew true love until it hit me in the face. I don't actually think I knew true love. I might have thought I knew what it was, but until I actually experienced God's love, man, that was when I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew what God's love, what true love was, what real love was. See, on this earth, we have maybe what you could call a tainted love. You know, it's an amazing love that we can have between each other. It's like, it's a love that pushes people to cross oceans for each other. It's a love that keeps people wide-eyed at night, and in the day it keeps their head in the clouds. It's a love that makes the rest of the world just fade away. You know, you're just thinking about this one person. And that's all good stuff. But the love that we have for one another is the same love that can leave us broken. The same love that can leave us abandoned, shattered in pieces. It knocks the wind out of our sails, and it can cause the world to just become a blur. You know, this love that we have between each other, it can be a good example, but it's tainted compared to the love that God offers us. The love that is real love. The love that is true love. And I want to talk about this tonight, and I see this love. I see this love most outworked in this one story that over the last year, I've really just been keep coming back to it. And it just keeps, I just realize how much love God has for us and what real love truly looks like. And it's a story of the woman who's been caught in the middle of adultery. And it's in John chapter 8, and we're going to have a look at it tonight, verse 3 to 11. And it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses brought in a woman who had been caught in bed with a man who wasn't her husband. And she wasn't caught in bed like they were just having a lay down, like that means they were in funky town. And they made her stand in the middle of the crowd. So Jesus is there teaching people, and they bring this woman who's just been caught in bed with a man who's not her husband. That's called adultery. And they bring her in and they throw her in front of the crowd. And then they said, teacher, this woman was caught sleeping with a man who isn't her husband. And the law of Moses says that a woman like this should be stoned to death. So what do you say? So they're now trying to get Jesus to judge the situation. What do you say? They asked Jesus this question because they wanted to test him and bring some charge against him. This is really interesting. Why do they use this situation to try and bring a charge against Jesus? Why is this something that they're going to try and use to bring him down? You know, there's all sorts of ways you could sit off to the side and watch someone and wait for them to do something bad. But Jesus is like the perfect guy, right? So it would have been so hard. You would not have caught him doing anything bad. Anyway, so they bring this woman to him because they want to put a charge against him. And the reason that they do this is because the charge they want to put against him is blasphemy, that he forgives someone. And why do they think that, hey, if we throw this woman in front of him, that he's going to forgive him? Because Jesus had a reputation for forgiveness. That whenever someone came to him who was a sinner, doesn't matter who it was, there was no condemnation. They were always going to be forgiven. They would have known that Jesus was a God of grace, that Jesus was a God of love, that no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, if you find yourself at the feet of Jesus, there will always be grace and there will always be forgiveness. And that's why they brought him to him. Because they knew, hey, he's going to forgive her for sure. Surely he's going to forgive her. Let's bring this girl out. And so, man, that's one of the things that encourages me. Man, I just know that no matter what happens, God's God that's going to forgive me. No matter what I've done, God has a love for me that never ends. No matter how many times I stuff up, no matter if I'm caught red-handed, He's going to forgive me. He's going to forgive me because of His love for me. So Jesus simply bent over and He started writing on the ground with His finger. They kept on asking Jesus about the woman. And finally He stood up and He said, if any of you, speaking to the Pharisees and the onlookers, if any of you have never sinned, then go ahead and throw the first stone at her. Once again, He bent over and began writing on the ground. And one by one, they left, beginning with the oldest. Finally, Jesus and the woman were there alone. So everyone has now gone. The scene is empty. It's just Jesus and this lady. Then Jesus stood up and He asks her, where is everyone? Is there not anyone left here to condemn you? Is there not anyone here left to condemn you? You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where people are throwing accusations at us. But when we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus, all the accusations, all the condemnation goes away. And there's no one left to condemn you. I love that. Isn't there anyone left to condemn you, to accuse you? Verse 11, no, sir, the woman answered. And then Jesus told her, I am not going to accuse you either. The one person who could accuse her chose not to. The one person who was truly righteous, who was the only person who could have accused her, chose to show love, chose to show grace. That's real love. And then, I don't think I finished that verse. I'm not going to accuse you either. You may go now, but don't sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. Cool. I love this story. This whole story just screams grace and love to me. And one thing that all early Bible stories, parables that Jesus was saying, that sort of stuff, when people told a story back in the day, the point was not just to have a pretty story and a cool punchline and a Cheshire Cat shows up and tells you the meaning. You know, the point is that you find yourself in the story and then find the lesson. And there's many characters in this story. And I want to go over each one of those tonight. And I want you to find yourself. Find yourself in this story and figure out what your response is. Obviously, the first character that I see is the woman. The most obvious one. She's caught in the middle of something that is just frowned upon. And I love that our God, He doesn't take sides. He's not a person that sides with one person or the other. He is a God that He chooses to show love, no matter what the consequences are. And so this woman is put before Him, and she's in the middle of something big. She's just stuffed it up big time, and people have caught her. There's no explaining her way out of this. She's just stuffed it up big time. And so many of us can find ourselves in situations like this. Maybe you're in the middle of a situation like this right now. You've done something. Maybe other people don't know about it. Maybe they do. Maybe you've just stuffed it up so, so big time, and there are people who are standing around picking up rocks. There are people who are trying to accuse you. The thing I love about this story is that Jesus, he protected her before He got her to say anything. He protected her before she even made a confession that she was going to do anything good ever again. He protected her before she said anything, he didn't even make her confess her sins or anything like that. Actually, the only thing that He made her confess was that there is no condemnation. And tonight, if you have been found yourself in the middle of something big that you've stuffed up, hey, God's protecting you. Before you don't have to come and do anything to God. He wants to protect you. Before you even do anything, He's not asking anything of you. He just wants to protect you because He loves you. That is real love. That is real love. Love that protects without asking for anything back. And so tonight, if that's you, if you're the woman, man, the best place that you can find yourself is at Jesus' feet. You know, we all have problems, and we try to find answers here, there, everywhere. But the truth is, anywhere else we go other than Jesus, there's going to be someone there tossing a stone around, getting ready to throw it. They've got an accusation ready. Even if you think, oh, this, I really trust that person or whatever. Man, there probably will always be someone in the end, even if it's just a thought, that's condemning. But Jesus is the only one who shows real love and does not condemn. And I guess with this, we need to get to that point where we find ourselves at Jesus' feet. And maybe you need to repeat this to yourself. I love this verse, Romans 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've been hanging out with, even if it was your fault or it was their fault, who cares? You've done something big, bad, whatever. There's no condemnation. And this is something that we need to realize, to find ourselves in the Father's love. That's how she found her forgiveness. That's how she found her life changed, was when she made that confession to Jesus. No, sir, there is no one here that accuses me. I love that. So if you're finding yourself, if you're like the woman, find yourself at Jesus' feet. Make that confession. Maybe you're more like the Pharisee, the teachers of the law. You know, you caught someone doing something. Maybe this happens in your workplace. Someone does something that really grinds my gears. It really annoys you. And you just find yourself like this. You're walking along. You're ready to pick up a stone at any moment. Ready to go. You're just waiting. Maybe you find yourself speaking angry words that you didn't even think that you'd ever say. Man, again, best place to find yourself is in front of Jesus' love. He's going to change your attitude. He's going to change your attitude. If you are finding yourself struggling with someone at work, someone in your family, man, the best thing is to maybe not continue that conversation, because you might be picking up a stone real soon. Find yourself at where Jesus is. Be where Jesus is, because I guarantee you, he's going to change the way that you think. And that's what he did for these Pharisees. Changed the way that they thought so that they dropped their stones and walked away from the situation. And that's where we need to find ourselves. If we are that Pharisee. You know, I love the song, this song by Hillsong United. Actually, I forget the name. It's got Hallelujah in the title somewhere. Anyway, but it's talking about God's love, and it says, love, like crashing waves of endless grace, you won't relent until all I am is yours. Like crashing waves of endless grace. Think about a wave, man. Like, do you reckon that I could ever calculate the amount of times that waves have lapped the shore in a day at Surfers' Paradise, let alone ever since God created it? That is God's grace for you. Crashing waves, endless grace. Just when you think that grace is worn out, there's a new wave that crashes over you. And man, this is something that we've got to get in our hearts when we're dealing with other people as well. They've hurt us once. Oh, that's annoying. Hurt us twice. They've hurt us 100 times. Who cares? Crashing wave. Endless grace. Let's be people who are not picking up stones. Let's be people who are representing God's heart of real love and are just endless grace. Endless grace. Just think about that in your head, just that crashing wave over someone. That's what God has for you, and that's what we need to have for other people. Maybe you're the onlooker. Maybe you're someone who's there, not really involved, but you're kind of watching this tennis match happen. You know, you're like looking at the Pharisees, they say something, you look at Jesus, Jesus says something. You know, the truth is, we can't really make positive change in our world. We can't really inject real love into this world if we're just standing around watching. We watch someone pick up stones and throw them. You know, the person that changed that situation was Jesus, because he stood up. The verse says he stood up and said, and then he spoke to the Pharisees. He stood up for the girl. And you know, we have so many situations that we face, work, school, uni, everywhere, where there is injustice, where there is tainted love, where there is some form of injustice that we see. But if we're just an onlooker, We'll never have that opportunity to inject God's real love into that situation. And without that injection of God's real love, I wonder what would have happened to that girl. And I wonder what would have happened to the Pharisees. The girl would have been stoned to death, most likely. The Pharisees would have felt even more proud and righteous of themselves. They would have been even more desensitized to what they're doing. They would have been thinking that their dependence on rules and regulations was going to get them through in life. It just makes it worse for everyone when an opportunity for real love to be injected is missed. So maybe you are an onlooker in situations like this. Maybe you don't feel like you've stuffed it up, and maybe you don't feel like you pick up stones. But hey, if something's happening around you that you're just letting happen, like parents with our children, like if you're just letting arguments happen and you're just like, I'm done dealing with this. Teachers, if you're a friend, if you're like in a friendship group and you just see people arguing all the time between your friends, man, that's your opportunity to save the relationship, to inject some real love, to show some grace, to input what God's real love would say, what God's grace would say in that situation. And last one, finally, maybe you're the man. And we don't hear much about the man. He's not brought in front of the crowd. He slipped away in the night. And the fact is, if she's committed adultery, that means he has too. And so he's done something just equally as bad. But I wonder what happened to him. I wonder how his life turned out. Everyone that found themselves at Jesus' feet, their life was changed. But what happened to the man? Something that's kept in darkness. Man, God, it's so hard for God to touch. And I think for so many of us, maybe you are the man. Maybe you have an issue that maybe you've been struggling with it for a while. It's not in the light. Man, you need to bring that. Bring that out into the light. The only time that the devil has power over our circumstances is when they're hidden and in the darkness and we've never told anyone. But as soon as we bring it into the light, as soon as that woman was brought before Jesus, even though she thought it was going to all go south, God showed endless love, endless grace for her. And that man, I'm sure if that man showed up, I'm sure Jesus would have had grace for him as well. And so for every single person, you're going through something right now. Maybe you've been keeping it hidden. Maybe you've been keeping it in the darkness. I'm telling you right now, you might feel like as soon as I bring this into the light, it's so much guilt, so much shame. I just know people are going to pick up rocks. I just know people are going to try and condemn me. But man, you bring that thing straight to Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. That's pretty plain and simple. It doesn't get more simple than that. Not some condemnation, or not only if you've done this, or only if you've done that, or blah, 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 blah. There is therefore no condemnation. If you bring that thing to Jesus, if you submit that thing to Jesus, I promise you, he's going to display those endless waves of endless crashing waves of grace upon your life. And you're going to find freedom from that thing. Instead of struggling with it again and again and again, if you bring that thing before Jesus, he's going to show you that grace and that love that you need to turn your life around. And man, that is real love that each and every one of us can begin to show for the people around us. I wonder what our world would look like if each and every one of us began to show this kind of love. A love that is so kind that it just gives with expecting nothing in return. A love that is so patient that even though you keep stuffing it up, even though someone in your life might keep stuffing up again and again and again, there's no end. I'm just patient. I'm just going to keep loving you. Just going to keep loving you. Man, God is so patient. I did so many dumb things before I met God. I'm so glad that he has patient love for me. Can we be people that show that same patient love for other people? A love that is so grace-fueled that no matter what you've done, his grace is going to wash all over you. So, so grace-fueled. A love that is so strong that it puts everything of this world to shame. So strong for you. And each and every one of us tonight, we have the opportunity to go out into our worlds, to feel this love on the inside and to show it on the outside. And when we begin to inject this is what I love about God's love, is when we begin to let it sink into our heart and then bleed out of our actions, that's when other people pick it up and that's when other people go, hey, that's what real love is. I thought I knew love, but man, that is love. The way that you don't get sick of that person, how much they've done against you, but yet you are not sick of them. how this person has done the biggest wrongdoing against you, but yet you haven't spoken a harsh word against them. You just continue to love them. Man, when people see that, that glorifies Jesus. That glorifies God. People are going to be asking questions. Hey, what is that? Why are you doing that? Come on, man. You have every single right to get angry at that person. You have every single right to file a lawsuit against your boss for firing you for that thing. You have every single right to talk to that person harshly about what they did. You have every single right to do that. You might, but there's endless waves of crashing grace. If God has that for other people, man, come on, that's got to be something that we have for other people as well. As soon as we begin to get this heart on our life, we're going to become Christians. We're going to become people who are just shining so, so brightly that people won't be able to ignore it. People will be bringing stuff to us, just like they did for Jesus. They were like, hey, let's see what he does in this situation. And then all of their minds were blown, including the woman who needed the grace. I'm going to pray for each and every one of us right now. I want you guys to think about maybe which character are you in this story? What do you need to take away? Maybe you just need to find yourself at Jesus' feet. Maybe you just need to learn to show the love that he has given for you and show that for other people. I'm just going to pray for us real quick. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the example of your son, Jesus, and that he showed us what real love is, God, and that you show us what real love is every time that we make a mistake, God, and you let us come back to your arms. God, we thank you so much for this incredible example. And we just pray that as we go out into our weeks this week, the hidden shame and guilt that we have, God, pray that as we bring it to you, you'll help us in the midst of our struggle. You'll help us and you'll overcome our shame, guilt, and worry, God, and that you'll give us peace and that you'll give us strength for the journey. God, as people get on our nerves, as people do things that tempt us to show this tainted love that we have and get angry and get all annoyed, God, and twist this love out of proportion, God, I pray that you would put your heart on our heart and help us to show true love today to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've talked a lot about love tonight and real love. And we are all going to have an opportunity right now to receive real love that comes from God. Maybe you've never experienced that real love. This is your opportunity tonight to experience that, whether that's for the first time or the first time in a long time. So I'm just going to welcome up Georgia, and she's going to talk to us really quickly about what it means to know God's love.
I would just love to give everyone here the opportunity to experience God's love and grace, because I know in my life I've definitely experienced that. There's been times where I definitely feel like I'm disqualified from God's love, or I feel like I've just stuffed up so much that I can't ever earn it again, kind of thing. But we don't have to earn it, because the awesome news is that Jesus came to earth and he died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He paid the price so we don't have to worry about it anymore. And I just think that's so great, because no matter what we do, no matter what mistakes we make, God is always going to be graceful and loving, and because of what Jesus did, we are always forgiven. So if I could just get everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads, I'm just going to take an opportunity to pray for two groups of people. I just want to pray first for people who maybe have never made the decision to follow God and to accept his real love. And if that is you and you feel like maybe you've been disqualified from that, or maybe you feel like you've just stuffed up so much that you can't even find yourself in that position, I just want you to know that you can, because Jesus has paid the price. So if there's anyone here tonight who does want to make that decision, I just encourage you to raise your hand now. And nobody's looking around, everyone's eyes are closed and everyone's heads are bowed. And if that is you, I just encourage you to raise your hand. And I don't want to rush this or anything, but I just would really encourage you to make this decision, because it is such a great decision and it would change your life forever. Awesome. And I also just want to pray for another group of people. Maybe you have made that decision to follow Jesus before, but you've made mistakes and you've done things that make you feel like you're out of that relationship and you've lost that love. But thing is, you're never going to lose that love. God is so graceful and he's always going to be wanting you to come back to him. And if that is you, if you do need to come back to God again, I just encourage you to raise your hand to make that decision to come back into that relationship and experience God's love again in your life. if there's anyone here. Awesome. So if you want to open your eyes and look up to the screens, we're just going to say a prayer together. And yeah, I just encourage you to pray this with all your heart. Whether you did or didn't raise your hand, this is just a prayer that's going to really show God that you're willing to bring him into your life. So let's all just pray this together now. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you.